When anybody's talking about balance, they are still under a bit of an illusion that they control more than they do.
I have seen people operating in very unhealthy extremes.
I think purpose has a real important and outsized role here in dealing with those extremes. What I needed more than balance was I needed integration.
It's a tool. It's a perspective that you can use, and for some people, it could be really helpful, and for other people, it doesn't work at all. When the system becomes greater than the goal, then the goal gets lost.
Welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And I'm your co-host, David Rathemeyer.
And we are excited to be in the studio. We're excited to be recording today. We both had interesting days. David has been traversing half the continent in the last week. And so we're just happy that he is upright, awake, and we'll see if he's actually got all functioning brain cells or not. And for those of you listening, doesn't matter a little bit, but if for those of you who ever watch the videos, I have been doing some remodeling in the recording studio here, and that involves some putting some really cool shelves together, which I got done. And I was just sharing with David that they were supposed to be all carefully decorated this morning, and that did not happen. So if you're watching the video, you get an awesome shot of my empty shelves. So I guess that's progress of some sort, but at least it's honesty. There's some transparency here that we don't have everything perfect. So
you know what, Jonathan? When I see those empty shelves behind you, I see potential. There is all sorts of rows of potential for really cool stuff to go on those shelves.
And it was potential that was not realized the last time we recorded in here, right? I mean, like
there was
not that potential the last time. So we are making progress in some fashion, trying to balance all those things is an interesting problem. And in fact, the question that we would like to look at today and examine stems from a question that came in our Q&A episode that we did just a little bit ago. And we've been thinking about it a little bit more. And the question is it worth seeking balance in your life? Is it worth seeking balance in your life? And so there's a bunch of different ways you could take that. The question was asked that way. We've been pondering it a little bit. And even when we answered on the Q&A episode, we had some slightly different takes, and we thought we'd like to explore that a little bit more. So David, in general, not to like push this too far, the categories, because I suspect we've got a little more overlap in a Venn diagram than we think. But in general, you said, yes, it's worth seeking balance in your life. So go ahead. Defend yourself, David. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I just need to pause and commend you for that segue from the shelves to this, because
I think
that
it's
was
the shelves. I think it's the potential. That's just, you know, I'm already inspired by this new space or this updated space. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, I mean, I've got to get me some shelves at some point here, apparently.
we might end up being dangerous here, David. I have to pay attention.
No kidding.
When we start to put stuff on it? The inspiration will really be flying. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So as far as balance goes, I think that I have seen throughout my life that there are lots of different areas of your life where I have seen people operating in very unhealthy extremes. You can be very extreme. You can be very black and white in a lot of different areas. And generally, operating in extremes can lead you into some really unhealthy habits, and it can lead you down some really unhealthy paths. So to come up with an example, if you are looking to like find structure in your life, for example, if you want to introduce more structure, if you want to plan things out in your life, generally that I think we could all agree is a good thing. However, if someone takes that too far of an extreme, then that ends up leading to them like trying to optimize every single second of every single day of every single moment of their lives. And they end up obsessing more over actually the structure of their lives rather than the content of their lives. And then whenever that structure gets thrown off, then they are just emotionally completely out of whack, because that's a lot of what they have based their lives around. So obviously that's not great, but then the opposite of having no structure in your life and then having your life be a disorganized mess is also not great. And so that's where I personally think that finding a balance in life where you try to pursue some form of structure, some amount of structure in your life, while not going to the extreme that the structure is more important than the life that you are trying to live, and the content of it is helpful. And so that's just one example, but I think that there's many other areas where that applies.
So it sounds to me, David, like you're making an argument against the extreme. In other words, that, you know, when you say seeking some balance, you're almost setting that up as a defense against extremity. I'm not sure if that's the right word. Way to use that right word. You're setting it up as a defense against an extreme lean one way or the other. And we could, you know, let's put this in work context. You know, one lean would be a workaholic who is completely obsessed, and his, you know, we'll use the masculine descriptor here, in his work, because of who we are in his work. And so that's all you think about, obsessed about everything with work, achievements, money, all those kinds of things. That'd be one extreme to be guarded against. The other would be somebody who doesn't care. You know, I'll just whatever.
Sure.
I'll play video games all day, or, yeah, I mean, like we're kind of being hyperbolic to push it to the ends here. And so you're saying, yeah, you should seek balance in your life, but less as a kind of perfect equilibrium and more as a guard against the temptation to press one of those edges. Is that a fair?
I think that is a very fair distinction. Yeah. And I think, too, to just add on to that, I would say that there is not, yeah, one perfect equilibrium. And I don't think that even if you find a spot of balance that works for you in one particular area of life, that it's going to always be a particular area of balance. I think that it can be a moving target depending on just how your life ends up changing and adapting. And so I would say that it's not something that you look for and try to. Because I even think that looking to obtain balance in all of the areas of your life can in and of itself be an extreme. And so you can end up kind of falling into that trap in and of itself, too. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, I think that is a fair representation of what I'm saying.
Well, give yourself a letter grade. You know, if F's failing and A plus is fantastic, how are you doing in this whole tightrope walk at the moment by your definition?
For myself, I would probably give myself a B to B minus, depending on what area of life that I'm looking at. And I think that some of that at the moment, I would say, is an intentional sacrifice, because I think that there is, like, for example, I am in a phase of life right now where I am just kind of dedicating a little bit more of than what I would normally like to allow to things like my job and work and
listen to how kindly he put that. Did y'all hear that? That was David as politely as possible saying, my life would be way more balanced if the place I worked allowed me a little bit more opportunity to balance. Just I'll say it for him. And I'll say that that's true. The past year, especially, we have definitely pressed David out of balance and guilty as charged. That was
and very to be clear, a lot of that is like my own choice. A lot of that was not just like forced upon me. That was just like there were opportunities to step and lean further into those things. And I have chosen to do so, for the record. It's not like Jonathan is holding an ultimatum over my head to try to be working more and try to get put in even more effort than I normally would. This is an intentional choice that I've made, and I'm completely fine with
it. If we pull the frame back in the camera, there's a guy in a mask in a corner with a gun saying, David, say it nicely, say it nicely.
Yeah, well, it's fine, buddy. Yeah.
So I'm saying it. I'm saying the stuff. Very tactfully put, David, and honest as well.
So, to conclude with the answer to the question, like there's some of those things that I am dedicating more of my time and my energy to than I would probably normally prefer, but I'm okay with that for the time being. And, you know, there's other elements of my life, like I would love to be able to like do more as far as for example, just like investing in some of just like my like passion projects that I have on the side, but like I'm just not really working towards those quite as much. And so I think that I'm trying to find little ways that I can like make adjustments to kind of move in a direction of balance, but I can very honestly recognize that that's not something that I'm doing particularly well at the moment.
Well, when you say, so you've looked and seen like these kinds of extremes, right? So, you know, we talked about one into the other. And so what was it that made you, what are some of the disciplines, what are some of the tactics that you use to kind of maintain that balance? Because, so you've stated your goal, you know, you said you're scoring a pretty solid 3.0, right? B minus, something like that. So, sure. I mean, that's not bad, right? B students get a lot of places. What are some of the strategies you use to do that?
Yeah, I think for me personally, it ends up being something where I gauge the amount that I am dedicating towards a particular thing by how much of my time and my mental energy and just like thought are being taken up. Those are kind of the two main metrics that I try to look at as far as what how much something is taking up in my life. If something is taking up a lot of my time and a lot of my mental energy, then that ends up being something that like is I'm giving a lot. And so then I'll end up trying to find a way to make sure that it's still keeping in balance with other things in my life. And so for one thing, just being very conscious of if I'm seeing shifts in how much of those two particular resources I am dedicating towards those things is really important for me. And then I think just having people that are close to me who are able to observe shifts and observe like when I am out of balance for certain things. Like obviously my wife is probably the front line of defense on that front, where if I am dedicating too much time to a particular thing, or if I am focusing on a particular aspect of something, say for example, like if I have gotten to the point where like I'm being too perfectionistic in something that I'm working on, or you know, to an earlier example of organization and trying to have structure in our lives, like that's something that I will tend towards. I will often, if I go unchecked, like try to have so much structure in my life in an effort to feel like I am in control of everything, that I will end up just focusing and obsessing over that too much. And sometimes I need her or other people in my life to go, that's you're pushing it a little much there. That's not really a healthy spot to be at, and you're not really actually allowing yourself to just live and enjoy the things that you're working on. So yeah, to kind of wrap it back up and summarize, just keeping an eye on what I'm devoting my most valuable resources to, and looking at making sure that I have people in my life who are monitoring those things.
Yeah, well, I think that's really helpful. Well, for the record, before I take off a different tangent, I think that your admonition and warning against extremes is well put, well placed, and well founded. In other words, I think that, you know, you can, there's a lot of pathologies and there's a lot of misery that comes out of, you know, running those extremes at some ends if it's unchecked. But I would put a qualifier on it. I would say if it's unquestioned, right? I mean, I think that there is... That often when you find the pathologies with the extreme is when it's almost done subconsciously. And to use a really extreme example, you know, if you are a soldier and have been called to fight in war, that's an extreme that allows no balance of any kind in your life. But there is in general, and when there's not, that's a problem. And we've seen this in history, but when you feel the cause is just and the necessity is there, then you may not like it, but that's very different from when, you know, you find like, in other words, somebody who volunteers and has been sent to the front line because they think that what they're fighting for is really important doesn't have the same kind of pathologies that flow out of that imbalance than somebody who got drafted and sent to fight a war that they think is meaningless, right? And so in other words, I think purpose has a real important and outsized role here in dealing with those extremes.
Well, and I think that to circle back to what something that we mentioned earlier, that there's points that you're going to have where like balance in and of itself is not the end all right. Be all. And if you're in a season, for example, like if you are dedicating yourself to the military, like that's a season where you are giving up balance if in a lot of areas of your life. And that's something that if you weigh it out, you can end up deciding, yes, I want to give that up. And so I don't think that we should hail this as much as I appreciate trying to seek it in my life. I don't think that it's something that should be the guiding principle for everything that we do.
Yeah. And I think that that's I was thinking about this as we were preparing for this, and even as you were talking, just kind of reflecting a little bit. I have a different perspective that's not necessarily entirely in opposition, but comes at it from a slightly different angle. And I think to set that up, it requires a little bit of examination of maybe some core ideas here. And so one of those core ideas is that there is a bifurcation of meaning that I think has crept into the culture, in the sense that people talk about balance because they want to restore that bifurcation. And I want to come back to that. I just want to set that on the table and come back and think about that in a second. But there's also, when we're talking about, you know, we need to seek balance, or we need to do those things, I think that often people who are teaching and talking about those things are the kind of people that put stuff on their shelves before they record videos. they're people who have a more linear and often more organized process. And I want to state clearly and distinctly, those people have extraordinary gifts and abilities, and there's a reality to that I'm not at all rejecting. I also tend to think that they're the folks that most often get the microphone and most often get the platforms, probably as a result of their organized productivity. And so that's a good thing. But I don't observe that the people who are most productive actually fit into those categories. In other words, I think there's much more variety in the people who are productive. And when I say productive, I think have positive measurements in life. We can insert a lot of different things here. But they're underrepresented in sometimes the platform and talking about how they got there. And that's the part that's fascinating to me. So let me just recap that a little bit. I think organized, consistent, goal-setting, balance-seeking people exist, have some measure of putting that in, and they are able to do things that you know, with their dedication and stuff. But they're most often, that leads them to a place where they can share and teach that. They tend to have the platforms to be able to do that. But if you look across people that have positive outcomes in their life, there's a lot of other kinds of people that do that. They just, the people that are less organized, less balanced, more extreme, might have, I don't know, I've not measured this, and I don't know any way to measure this, may have better or worse outcomes, I'm not sure, but they tend to have less opportunity to talk about it. And so therefore, there's a little bit of underrepresentation. That's one. The second thing is that I find that when anybody's talking about balance, they are still under a bit of an illusion that they control more than they do. And I don't say that as criticism. I say that as one who spent a good deal of my life under that illusion. And when that illusion was destroyed, it was both painful and a kind of perspective shift. And all of a sudden, I think there comes a point in everybody's life where you realize that what you don't control is infinitely more vast. And I mean that very literally, infinitely more vast than what you do control. And that's a very, very sobering reality in terms of, and you know, I don't want to say it in a morbid way, but you know, like, I've got my life together, and just be clear, David wasn't claiming this, but like, you run into people that are like, I've got this organized, I've got a system, I've got all these things. And then, you know, a car accident puts you in some health issues, or, you know, there's something outside of your control, or, you know, your house burns down or something like that. In other words, often a catastrophe interrupts all that. And the catastrophe is not your fault. It wasn't anything that you had any control over. And yet it has a massive disruption. And we can flip that the other way. It could be that something, you know, in the line of work that David and I are in, we see a lot of young people who have their lives all together and seem to be going exactly one way, and then they fall in love, and then everything gets upended, right? And that's not a bad thing, but it does completely change, and like, all of a sudden there's new factors, new destinations, new goals that were previously unthinkable that all of a sudden become predominant. And that can happen really quickly. And so all of a sudden there's a change there. Okay, so to summarize, I think that, you know, kind of goal-driven, organized people get a little bit more platform to say this is the system that works, but there's a couple of different ways to accomplish the things they're accomplishing. Second, what you don't control is far vaster than what you do control, and that's worth at least noting. And then to come back, the part that I really want to spend more time on here is this bifurcation, this idea that you need balance. And here's the way I think this is set up. It's like, I think this comes from primarily from this idea. I would like to hang out all day and do leisure stuff or hang out with my friends or insert whatever it is that you think is a good thing here, right? But I have to pay the bills. And because I have to pay the bills, I need to go to work. And so when I go to work, pretty soon work consumes me. So I need to have a balance here where I'm working just enough to be able to maximize my leisure time because that's the important stuff and the work is kind of the necessity stuff. And I need to have this balance between like, yeah, I have to be so productive, but I also want to have some time to do things that I like. And that's oversimplified clearly. But there is this level of kind of this either or. People that have listened to the podcast know that I strongly reject golden age thinking. But I think there was a time in our past where that was less different and more the same because living meant to survive and to survive. Like, in other words, your leisure time and your productivity time and your family time and your community time were often integrated in a really powerful way because they all happened the same way. Now, I'm not arguing that everybody should be agrarian by any means, but there is a reality that in previous eras of history, there are more people who were tied to agriculture in terms of living than other things. And if you're in an agricultural setting, you know, you are working with your family on the land and everything's sort of tied together, both your recreation and your entertainment and your togetherness and your community in terms of, you know, people help with the barn raising or getting the stock in together, something like that. They're all kind of knit together in such a way that there's not this, I'm going to work so that I can go rest. Those things are kind of tied. I think that it's worth thinking about, not as a golden age, but just as an observation, which is a long-winded way to say, personally, and not as a universal claim, so I'm not stating this is reality for everybody, personally, my observations in my own life is that when I tried to pursue balance, it turned out to be a myth.
Traditional education doesn't work for everyone. If you or your student want something different, check out Ascend by Unbound. With flexible courses, real-world projects, mentorship, and community, Ascend equips young adults to thrive academically, professionally, and personally. Students consistently say that the close-knit support and resume-ready experience are their favorite parts. Enrollment prices rise soon, so don't wait. Find your track at beunbound.us/ascend.
It's unobtainable and was not in my control and therefore consequently ended up being deeply frustrating and disturbing to me in some ways. The ability of thinking about balance as a guard against extremism was very helpful, but instead what I needed more than balance was I needed integration. So it's two different words. I would say I'm not arguing for balance in my life, but I strive for integration in my life. That what I do for work is clearly associated with what the rest of my life is in terms of meaning. And so my work is meaningful, not because I think I do a job that is like, you know, super important, making a difference in other people's lives. I do get to do a job like that, and I'm really grateful for it. But I'm not holding up the job as that kind of holiness. I'm holding up the job that I'm doing primarily enables me to create value in the world that I think is useful and that helps other people, and by consequence helps me take care of the ones who are most close to me and that I have been given responsibility for. And so it's not that I go to work so I have to pay my bills so I can come home and spend time with the ones I love. It's that I go to work because working is my primary way of showing how I love those people, not in a workaholic way, but in a way of like, I'm going to go create value for some of the people, and from the value derived that I've created, I'm going to use that to share and to support the people that I take care of. And in the process, try to integrate those things as much as possible. So it's not, hey, I have to leave now and go to work. It's like, I work so that we can do all this collectively. What I do for work is important. What I do as a family is important. And to try to integrate that as much as possible. And then even my leisure time, the time that I have to recreate and do those kinds of things, is done not as something separate, but as an outgrowth of the kinds of things that I do to create value and love my family and do all those kinds of things. Now, to be clear, I make no claims that I've made any kind of expert reality in terms of making that all work. But I feel like that for me is a easier is not the right word. That makes more sense to me to pursue that as a system to put together than to achieve some sort of balance, which as far as my life is concerned, has been totally elusive. Now, that could be a reflection that I've failed at balance, which is why I'm not making claim as universal. And instead, I'm bringing it up as a perspective and a viewpoint for folks to consider, for listeners to consider. I'm not putting it out as an argument. This is reality and balance is ridiculous.
So. Okay. Yeah. So there's, I think what at least I heard from you here, tell me if I got this wrong, is that it sounds like for you, balance in when you have tried to achieve that in your life has been trying to like draw a line with specific things, like how much of your resources like you give to specific things. And because
I have a perfect example of this, David.
Okay, go for it.
When I graduated from college and I got my first post-college job, it was also the first time that I had a set of hours that was consistent. You know, I had worked agricultural jobs. I worked in doing stuff with horses and all these kinds of things. It's like, sometimes I worked all day. Sometimes I worked a weekend race. Sometimes I didn't. And sometimes, you know, it's just like, it's all kind of scattered stuff. And of course, college has that kind of flexibility as well. So now I had a 9 to 5. In my case, it was, I think, 8 to 4:30 or something like that. And so the 8 to 4:30 job and the balance that I wanted to achieve was I was immediately jealous of my time at work. I saw that as opposition to my family, right? And so I counted how many hours I would be at work. And I set the time I woke up in the morning and the time I went to bed at a half hour more than the time I was at work. In other words, so that I could say, I have not only achieved balance, I have prioritized my family by literally adjusting my calendar so that I get up and I go to bed at times that will guarantee that I spend more time away from work with my family than at work. That was a kind of, you know, you're talking about bifurcation, opposition, and balance. I mean, like, I literally ran my clock by that. So as an example, yeah, so
okay,
you're right.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah. So let's run with that example because I think it's fun. So that, you know, like that in theory is just like, hey, I want to ensure that I'm spending more time with my family than at my work because my family is more important to me. I want to make sure that is prioritized more. Solid goal. It sounds like that did not last forever. When did that change?
It changed when I wanted more for my life, for my family, and for my work. In other words, there was a limitation placed there that I soon came to realize that I can only progress so far in creating value at work. I didn't even think of it in career terms. I thought of it in doing things that were useful and meaningful, that I could only therefore progress so far in taking care of my family. And I can only progress so far in terms of how I serve other people if I insisted on keeping this really strict bifurcation. And the other side of it, David, was that more and more I was watching people who were basically claiming, you know, as a dad, you should spend all your time with your kids and you do all this kind of stuff. And first of all, I don't think that's possible for most people. And secondly, I started to think, well, I don't know, like I'm struggling like crazy. Like I'm spending years and years trying to achieve this and I'm only achieving little pieces of it. When my son or daughters graduate and my reality that I've impressed on them is that their spouse or their role is to spend the maximum time with their family, you know, I'm only to the point where I can get a little bit of that after years and years and years of building skill and experience in the workplace so I can trade a little bit of that. That's not something that happens immediately. Aren't I setting them up for immediate failure? Like for years, I can feel like, you know, I'm selling out to the man. You know, I've got to go to work. And also, at some level, can we not just point to the reality that, like, I think we're created to work. Like part of how I take care of my family is that I go to work. And it's not just the financial aspect of it. It's the example I show. We serve other people. By going to work, I'm doing something outside of our family. So we're not insular, so we're not turned in, that we're actually, you know, it's like, hey, part of what we do is we go outside and we help other people and we create value for them. And that's also necessary for us to be able to do the things that we want to do. Anyhow, I just felt there was a bifurcation divide there that I had unintentionally set up that resulted in unrealistic expectations, but also resulted in sort of a false understanding of what I was doing. In other words, it was like it was making work to be the enemy when I think work in so many cases is the point. But again, it has to be work that's integrated because, as you rightly noted, David, work could also be an idol, right? I mean, you could have somebody who abandons their family to go climb the corporate ladder or something. And then, you know, there's all kinds of stories and myths and experiences of that. And that's not what we're arguing for at all, to be clear, that you know, not making a workaholic argument here. So.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a really helpful example. And I think that one that I'm sure that a lot of our listeners could probably relate to, depending on what phase of their life they're in. So a couple of things that I think I am observing as trends in what both of us are saying, because I think where we've ended here, I feel like we're closer to like being on the same page than we probably initially thought that we were, is for one thing that there is never going to be a perfect balance point, and trying to find the perfect system, the allotment, the ideal balance in any particular area of life. If you're focusing too much on trying to find that, and the system that is you're trying to use to help you to achieve something becomes greater than the end goal that you are trying to achieve, that's incredibly unhelpful. Like, when the system becomes greater than the goal, then the goal gets lost. So that's one thing that I'm observing here. The other thing that I'm observing here is that we tend to just put things at two extremes and believe that they are in complete opposition to each other. For example, like you brought up work and family, and there's often a kind of third option where they don't necessarily have to be on opposite weights of the scale, where one is going to immediately decrease the other if you bring more to it, and vice versa. There are often ways to just adjust how you go about one of those particular things or one or the other, and just allow them to exist together in ways that enhance both of them at different points. And now, not everybody's going to be in a position to do that with every single situation. Sometimes, you know, you're going to be have a job that requires you to be directly away from your family, and then finding solutions for that is going to be a little bit more challenging. But I think that trying to shift your mindset so that you're not just looking at the two ends of the extreme as diametrically opposed can unlock some really interesting possibilities for you, rather than just being focused on how do I find the midpoint in between them.
Yeah, maybe an interesting example for this is that, and I'm not super keen on this definition, but I have spent time in church work where the congregation's idea was, we have banded together in order to set aside money to pay for somebody to do ministry on our behalf, right? Now, to be clear, I think a better understanding of church work is that we have banded together to pay money for somebody to teach us how to do ministry, right? But there are definitely church models where it's like, you know, I can't go to the soup kitchen. I can't be a camp counselor at camp. I can't go on mission trips. I can't spend all my time teaching the Bible. I can't. So we're going to band together, and we're going to use our money. We're going to send this person out. And that pastor is going to be our representative of the congregation doing some of those things. Now, to be clear, I have some opinions about that in terms of church structureship and the church structure and how it relates to discipleship and all those kinds of things. But it is unquestionable that people can get excited about that, and that real ministry can get done. I think that one of the interesting ideas here is that, you know, if we're in this kind of have to seek balance, there's some level of like, any minute you're at your job, it's just a necessary evil so you can get back home. The other side of that is, I'm going to use myself as an example, so don't anybody freak out in the audience in terms of the way I'm going to say this. You know, in my life, we have been blessed in that Kara has been able to be a stay-at-home mom. And we made those decisions and all that kind of stuff. And that's not always available to every person, and nor, for the record, do I think it's necessary for every person, but I'm just stating that that's my experience, right? And so we could either say, hey, we're a family and we resent every minute that you're working, because you should be here, right? Or we can say, we're a family and we're all banding together so that as a family, we enable one of our own to go out and not only provide for us, but to serve other people. And so by extension, we are serving those people as well. Whatever dad's doing, his work is an outgrowth of what we're doing here as well. Whatever the people working, and we can expand it out here, whatever the people working are doing, it's an outgrowth of what we all achieve together. And all of a sudden that changes things really dramatically. And I've been blessed to be around families who has a parent who spends a way disproportionate amount of time working in significantly important positions. And the family is as tight as any family I've known. And there's no resentment about dad's necessity to work. It's like, no, we all together as a family are enabling that person to go and serve that company and those customers and those people in that way. And we all have some pride and we all collectively think that we're doing this job. That's where I talk about, that's where I think that the intentionality is different, right? The understanding is different, and there's a lack of there's not so much balance, but integration to that. That can be a really interesting way to see it. Again, I'm not making a universal argument here. I'm stating a perspective that I think is interesting and one that, for whatever reason, makes more sense in my personal life experience. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've seen some of that in my life as well, in not only just my work life, but also, you know, taking a slightly different tack, you know, thinking about, for example, you know, participation in church, for example, and how I have at times seen that as, you know, anything that has going to bar my ability to participate and to serve the people in my community through my church is, you know, just going to be a lesser distraction. And so trying to, you know, find as many ways to just make sure that I have very firm boundaries around that has to be set up. But over time, I think what I've noticed, and especially now that I'm in a completely different, you know, since I've moved from my home church and now we're getting involved into a different church and it looks a little bit different, is that there is opportunity anytime you can find ways to not only serve the church directly, but also just like call others into service and just bring other people into participation. And so sometimes I found that if I realized that I was feeling like I had to prioritize it to an extreme, that it was helpful for me to recognize I'm taking on too much of this myself and I'm removing opportunity from other people to be able to join in to this because I feel like I need to take it all on myself because it's so much of a priority. And I think the common thread that is in both of our examples here is that when you are able to bring in other people in community, whether that's your family, your church, friend groups, your local community, whatever that looks like, it ends up being a lot more of a blessing than trying to figure out exactly the precise way to figure it out on your own. Because whenever you have other people along with you taking on some sort of project or task, it ends up being so much more freeing because you're able to do just as much as you're able to do. And then the person next to you is going to do as much as they're able to do. And sometimes that's going to look way different on any given day. And at times you're going to be able to do a lot more than the person next to you because you're tackling a certain type of thing where you're more capable. And other days you're going to feel like you have no idea what you're doing. And then the person next to you will be able to step in and help you out. And I think that's one of the best ways that we can find something that looks even close to balance that isn't really balance in some senses, is just looking to the people that God has placed around you and asking, how do we just best use the opportunities, the resources that he has given us to pursue the kingdom building work that he's given us?
One last thought as we, and this, we can probably do another whole podcast about this, but I think part of that integration also results in something else that we tend to sometimes be worried about, and that is pride. And so I joke around with our students a lot, and I tell so anybody that's around me for a little bit knows that I'm proud of where I live. And so I like to live in Virginia, and I like the part of Virginia that I live in, and I like to joke around about it. And I am joking in the sense that I don't actually think that I'm a better person than anybody else because of where I live. But I do, I am serious about that. I love where I live. But here's the thing about that. I love it when other people love where they live. In other words, it's not that I'm looking down on other people because you live someplace else. I just think it's an exciting and good thing to love where you're from, the connections, the community. And I don't care where that is, right? I mean, like I when I run into people that really love their hometowns and where they're from, I really get a huge kick out of that. And especially if they're like, well, I would never live where you live. You know, there's some level of, you know, again, not in scorn, but in like, because I love where I am. Sometimes people say, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? And I'm like, right here. Like right where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. And so pride in where you live is good in that context, not in a scorn way that we're looking down somebody else. And the same thing here is with integration, often comes pride in what you do. I really admire and respect people who have pride in their work. And by pride, I don't mean scorn and like, I'm better than everybody else. And it's pride in that they take real pleasure and they're serious about doing a good job of the things that they do. That they think that what they do matters and they care about it and they're pleased to do it. That could be, it's hard. It could be ugly. It could be difficult. It could be trying, you know, all those things, but there's a pride that says like, I'm doing that. That's what I did. And I achieved something important. And I think that that level of pride is available at any position ever. Like, I don't think it doesn't matter how menial, it doesn't matter how unimportant, doesn't matter how mundane. You know, if you're doing something that doesn't work against the kingdom of God and you're doing something that creates value for other people, I think you ought to be able to take pride in that. I think that that is more possible with an integration mindset than with a balanced mindset that says like, I don't really care about this because that's not as important as what I'm doing over here. Well, thank you for coming along as we answered that question, David, in terms of should we seek balance? Is it worth seeking balance in your life? I would change that and say it's worth seeking integration in your life. And I would also say that what we're both functionally saying in terms of that is not particularly far off. And I would echo and enhance David's, you know, guard against extremes. And then I also would sort of just submit that, I don't know, I think for some people it does make more sense to state it that way and to go that direction. But if that doesn't make sense to you, maybe this alternative way of thinking is not so much like this is right and the other's wrong, but it's a perspective that might make more sense in the way that your life works. Maybe you're an empty shelf type of person as well. So.
I mean, I think probably the easiest way I can think of to put it, or the most helpful, is that it's a tool. It's a perspective that you can use, and for some people it could be really helpful, and for other people it doesn't work at all. And for some people it may be a tool that feels really helpful in a season, but then the season changes and suddenly the whatever project that you're working on, if you're looking at the tool example, suddenly it's not a very applicable tool to you. And that's fine. I don't think that it has to be a universally applied thing. I think it can be helpful in a particular person's situation in a particular time. And a lot of the time it's not. And that's fine. And I think with just about any tool, don't place the tool above the goal of what the tool is setting out to accomplish. And I think if we can settle on one particular conclusion that I think is going to be worthwhile for any question that we have here, seek the work that God is calling you to do, whether that is your vocational work, your family work, your work in your community, whatever that is, and whatever means that you can find to bring all of that together and to glorify God through those things, do that.
Well, in conclusion, I think what's going to happen is we're going to stop recording this podcast. I'm going to go downstairs, hug a kid, then come back up here and continue working on a spreadsheet that I need to finish. David, you're going to conclude this podcast and turn it off. Shut the computer down, close everything, quit for the day, and restore some balance to your life.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, well, we've already established that you work for a slave driver and the dude in the corner says you have to keep working. So thank you for coming along for this for the ride as we discuss this question. I do think it's a fascinating one. It's one I spent a lot of time thinking about. I do think it's one that has to be experienced to really be processed and understood. And hopefully this doesn't answer the question for you. That would kind of defeat the point, but instead gives you some perspective, some things to think about as you go through it. We might end before we send us off by saying, if you're looking for a way to integrate your life and your studies, or if you're just trying to balance between going to school and getting credentials and being able to be involved in your community, Boy, have we got a really great opportunity for you. And you
the
can go
segues
to,
today, Jonathan.
I'm telling you what, these empty, just think what's going to happen. We put stuff on the shelves. Go to beunbound.us and check out the programs there. Equip, Explore, and Ascend in particular are programs designed to allow you to stay integrated in your local community and yet experience a much broader set of horizons as we do project-based education together, travel to different places, go to our events, and able to kind of do both things, to integrate both things there. And if that sounds interesting or makes you curious, then go to beunbound.us to learn more. Until next time, thank you so much for your time and be unbound.